You could do it like they used to do it, you know, in the old days. He could, couldn't he? He could get up here and get that. Remember that old pose? Brothers and sisters, the Lord has spoken to me. You could do that, couldn't you? That's right. Yeah, there you go. Well, all right. But I thank you for holding down the fort last week. I understand he did a really good job and just went right on with it. And thank you very much. I thank all of you for all that you do. You just come through all the time. And, you know, you just, it makes this amazing place to be. You just, all the time. You're just doing stuff that I just go, wow, can't believe it. Whenever we have a special thing around here, there's more food. I mean, we could invite half the community back behind us and feed them all. And just in everything that happens, it's good. And there's abundant. It's just abundance of giving. That's what. And this is on that today. We're just going to talk about that. To keep it up. God is the Almighty God is the title of this message, but we're going into it. I just want all of you to know that you're the ministers of this church, not me. I'm the coach and counselor and motivator, hopefully, and teacher, exhorter. That the work of this church is done by you, and you've always done it, and you keep doing it, and you keep helping, you keep loving. It's a wonderful thing to see, and I want you to know that I'm grateful, and God sees what you do. And God keeps, He'll bless you. And He's blessing you, and He keeps blessing. So I just want to encourage all of you. God knows who you are, and He sees what you do. And I want you to know that I appreciate it very much. And God, and I really do. I was thinking, I had a chance to think about a lot of things last Sunday. For me to have to miss church like that for any reason, is, as you know, it doesn't happen often. And I don't think I've ever had anything happen that kept me from church in all these years. That was the first time. And I was just kind of in shock there for a while. But God then began to show me, you know, hey, I'm going to show you, Tony, that I'll take care of everything. And I've got people step forward. And it'll go right on. And I want you to know also that, you know, the love of God, the love for me is in this church. And I haven't been able to say that for every church I've pastored, but it is here. So thank you for it. Keep it up. Don't let any of this stuff discourage you that I might share. I only share it not because I'm trying to stand on some political thing. So you just are aware of what's going on. Don't lose heart. So God is the Almighty God, and you say, well, that's so, we know that. And yeah, but we need to be reminded that God is the Almighty God. And one of the reasons is, right now, there are some people who think that they're almighty. And I'm not attacking them. They just do. Their arrogance, their position, their money. They think that they're just almighty. They really do. They really believe that they're some kind of gods. And I want you to know, and I know you know this, but I want to say this. Socialism and communism is a religion in and of itself. And people are required to honor that as a religion. And you worship the state. In the Soviet Union, they believe there is no God. No God as we know God. But instead, the state owns you. And the state literally is your God. But there's no Almighty God. And they teach people that. They don't believe in God. But they believe in the government over there. They believe in the state being over everyone, and we know what that is. That's just nothing but dictatorship. And so, China, and we don't want to be fooled by China, any of these places, and they're absolute dictatorships. And anyway, what I'm trying to say is, friends, we see this, and people are out here, and they're acting like they've got us now, they own us. And I want you to know something, that pride goes before fall. And God is the Almighty God. And Psalms 105 says, for the Lord is good. That's the New Living Translation. For the Lord is good, and His unfailing love continues forever. You keep this and never forget this. For the Lord is good, And His unfailing love continues forever. And His faithfulness continues to each generation. So let me give you this first point. That's a lead-in to this message. Then this first point is God is a giving God. And don't forget it. God's not stingy. God is a giving God. I had to go through some stuff to find out that He's a giving God. He really wanted some emphasis for this message. Because, you know, with all that happened, and then I've had some great things happen, and people giving and stuff, and people help, willing to help and get through a little crisis in the life. And it's like, see, Tony, I want you to have a little experience here where it's fresh on your mind that I'm a giving God. And let me give you this in Luke chapter 6. And I hope that I sent in the right pack. Did I do it right, Ed? Did I give you Luke or did I say John? Oh, good. Because I looked back there a while ago and I was writing down John to make note of. And I thought, John, where'd I get John? It's in Luke 6, 37 and 38. But let's grab this real quick. He says, do not judge others and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn others or it'll all come back against you. Forgive others and you'll be forgiven. But the part we want to really play into today, he says, give and you will receive. Give and you will receive, and your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. It just keeps on going, right? I mean, this is good stuff. And he says, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And he's not saying that God is tit for tat, and you know, you give a dollar, God gives a dollar. What he's saying is, with the generosity in your heart, you give a dollar, or you give love, or you give a cake, or you give a phone call. God's saying, whatever you give, I'm going to give it back. But look at this. He said, I'm going to give it back, pressed down, and he said, I'm going to give it to you running over, shaken together, you know, like you would a bushel of wheat. We've all done this many times. You put something in a basket and you shake it so you make room for more. And God says, when you do what I want you to do, when you share with people, when you give love, when you give forgiveness, when you had every right to hate, when you let somebody off the hook, when you have every right to hang them, when you let an offense go, when you had every right to hurt the person for it, he said, I see that, and I'm going to give that kind of mercy and grace back to you, shaken, I mean really filled up, shaken, where we make room for more, and then I'm going to fill your life to overflowing because you did it. Many, many people, pastors have used this for centuries, to talk about tithing. Is this something have to do with tithing? Of course it does. It's saying give and God will give to you, but and he'll overrun your basket for giving. I mean, when you tithe or you give above the tithe, you just got yourself a blessing. Everybody knows that, right? But this is not a tithing message. This is on giving. Whatever it is that God tells you to give in your life. And for a lot of us, what we have to give, listen, for a lot of us, yeah, we give our tithes or we'll give to this or that, but one of the hardest things to give is to give of myself. Is to open up and be vulnerable to somebody. How many of us are really able and willing right this morning to give of ourselves? I don't mean a gift of ourselves. How long has it been since you opened your heart and let someone, gave someone else the gift of the real you? That's where it all begins, is when I can just give of myself, who I am in Christ. Let people see me for the realness that's there. And we all hung up, and I had a big session with two different couples last week. I'm sure glad I did. It sure helped on the plumbing thing. But anyway, but one of the things, interestingly enough, this subject came around to, and I'll share it this morning real quick, because the things in their lives brought me to say this. And I said, all right. And I looked at this at one person and I said, I want to ask you something. How much of yourself are you allowing people to see versus the role that you've been playing all your life? And she looked at me real funny, and she kind of got lip quivering, you know. And she said, I'm not sure I understand. I said, yeah, you do. I said, we all develop these roles that we present to people, and that's the image we want them to know of us. And we hide behind that to keep them from discovering the real me. I said, so we present this. I said, we're on stage 24, you know, hours a day, 7 days a week. I said, so the image you're presenting is not the real you. And then, you know, you wait for a moment, and then the tears come. And when the tears come, you realize, oh, we drilled right through the core. And so, you know, it's like, and then the response came out, I don't know who I am without this image I present. And I said, tell me the image you present. I said, you tell me what you present. The tough person that's always in control, makes decisions, nothing bothers me. And I said, so tell me the real person inside. The real person wants to cry. The real person, and then it came out. I said, you know, Walt, if you weren't doing this image and you could just do anything in the world, just you and me sitting here, what would you tell me that you'd really like to be? Who would you like to be? What would you like to do? And you know what she said? I would love to just be taking care of my family. I just want to be a mom. And I said, but instead, you present this image and everybody calls on you, and you're the one that solves the problems, and you're the one that fixes everybody else, and inside you're not being able to be who you were really put here to be. I said, anyway, we follow this through, and what it came out, here's the person everybody expects to be in charge, make decisions, tough person, and the real person behind that image was what? I just want to love the kids and take care of my home. And then I said, you have the gift of serving. Let's talk about the gift of serving for a minute. And we begin to follow that. And I said, would you like to do that same thing for, I'd love to just make a pie, a cake. I'd like to take something to people who are sick. And that, I said, would that really make, she said, I dream of it. And I said, now look at this. How long have you been in this role? All my life. I said, so that's what you've been presenting to people. Don't you think that they'd really, really like to get to know the person who bakes a pie and brings it to them when they're sick instead of the one that tells them what to do? So we got a long way to go. But I'm sharing this for this reason. So many of us, without meaning to, have developed a persona, an image. But it's not Christ's image. It's an image to protect ourselves. As kids, maybe the family was rocky, bad, some whatever. Trauma, things happen to us. And we present this image out here, and that's why we want people to believe we are. And inside is another real person nobody's ever said, would the real person stand up? And so what Jesus is saying to all of us is, I don't want that facade. I don't want what you want people to think about you. I want you to be who I made you to be. Who are you without your stage presence? Who are you as a real person? Are you a pie maker? Are you a letter writer? Are you a book writer? What are you? What are you? Who are you? And then this comes around, and I ask this question, and I ask it to you this morning. Do you know who you'd be without that presenting thing, that persona? The response I got in both situations, different people, both situations, was, it scares me. I don't even know who I am without it. The word this morning is this. God is an almighty God, and He's a giving God, and He's given you a personality, and He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you abilities. He's given you Himself in your heart. When you ask Jesus in your heart, Jesus lives in you and made you His temple. He wants to give that of you, that realness, to other people. He's never going to be real to other people in your witness until the real you comes forward with Him. Does everybody follow me here? And so you ask yourself, am I presenting something to people that I'm really not? Is it by demand? I mean, do I do it because it's just been expected so long that that's what I do to please everybody? This came up in another thing that I was talking with some people about. He said, I do it because that's what people expect me to do. And another guy said, I do it because my family expects me to be this kind of person. I said, so you perform. Every time you're around them, you're performing. Yes. And you just can't walk in there and just prop your feet up in the chair and say, here I am. Here's me. No, I said, why? Because they would reject that. And you know what my response is? So what? So what? So what if they do? What if your aunts and uncles or whatever, mom and dad said to you for being real, well, who are you? What are they going to say? I don't like you. I don't like this person, this genuine, loving, caring, God-made person. We want this other image here that we're used to. Listen, people want what makes them feel comfortable. And when we're real, it makes a lot of folks uncomfortable. And God's challenge this morning is to let Him be real in our lives, because He's a giving God and He has so much He wants to give. But to receive it, friends, we've got to be giving. That's what He's saying here. Give and it'll be given unto you, but so much more than I gave. But I've got to give of the real person, with the real persona, with the real personality. And for many long years, I had a persona that I projected. I played behind a role. I did. Y'all seen it? I played a role that was expected by a denomination and dressed and played the part, but I was, you've seen it too, but I was miserable behind the role. I wanted to be this. I wanted to walk up and sit down with a pair of jeans on and bring a message. You say, is that all? Well, it was a lot to it because I was never allowed to do it. I just wanted to be me and not have to use certain, the right words and the right phrases and have the right appearance and have my hair sprayed every Sunday. And I had to leave it all and be broken, completely broken and rebuilt to have realness come into my life. But friends, it's worth it. And so I want to leave this with you, on this point. Not quite closing yet, but get real with God. Ask yourself, who am I in Christ? Not who everybody, what everybody wants me to be, but the real me. Do you have the gift of giving, administration, gift of serving, gift of mercy? Gift of exhortation, gift of teaching. And you've been denying it because people have told you need to be this and they expect this of you. What's going to happen when the day you walk out and say, I'm not going to do anything that anybody expects of me today. I'm going to do what God leads me to do and be who God wants me to be. And if I feel like just walking over there and hugging so-and-so, I'm going to do that. And if I feel not doing it, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. And I want you to know, as you do that, as you give of yourself, you're going to find, listen to this, this works. You're going to find God giving of Himself. Listen to me. You give of yourself, your real self, to God and to His people, and you'll find God giving to you not just material things, not just money, not just all the food and things. He's going to give you of Himself. And you'll find God in a more real way because He has more of the real you to reveal Himself to. Okay, that must have been an astounding point. Is it? It's just that we don't think about this, do we? What would you say? Oh, this is a think day. He said, don't give him any more Sundays off. He comes back with all this deep thinking stuff because he had 2 weeks to think about it. But it's true, isn't it? And I present the realness of me. And God, I get God because he's not working. He's not God. Why would God present himself to an image? He presents himself to the real person who says, here I am. Sins, faults, and all, but the gifts and qualities and things you put in me. And that you and I walk together, Lord, and commune together and pray together and read the Word together. And he'll just pour himself into you to where you overflow with his presence. He'll take care of you. Yeah, he'll give you the food and the clothing, the jobs, the happiness, joy, relationships that you need, companionship. God will give you everything that you need. It says he'll give us more than we can ask or imagine through his power working in us. But friends, the ultimate gift from God is Jesus Christ, our hope of glory. It's God giving of himself, revealing himself to us as we read the Word, as we pray. And his presence begins to overflow and it goes out. And we become just almost aglow with the Shekinah glory of God. The Holy Spirit's in us. The Holy Spirit's there. He's flowing like a river. And goodness and grace and mercy. But strength comes out of us. That's the gift that you have to give to the world. It's the realness of God flowing from your life. Okay, I'll move on. It's just good stuff. You know, it said, Tony, it might be more good to you than it is everybody else, but it's good to me. I sure like it. See, you could have brought this. In 1 Peter 5, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, power of God, and at the right time, God will lift you up in honor. You ever thought about that? You read this for yourself. This is new. That's a New Living Translation. But it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time, God will lift you up. And he'll do it, and he'll give you honor. I have to humble myself before God to get his blessings. It offends me. It hurts me. It concerns me deeply. When I hear so many out here just preaching and teaching that God just can't wait to give this to you, there's truth in that. But what they don't tell you is that you have to give yourself to God to get what God wants for you. They're not saying that there's a place in my life. It's not by works. I can't earn it. I give myself to God. And God is he's a giving God, but he's a compassionate God, and you need to know that. He is with us in our struggles. What you're hearing this morning, you need to hear that the compassion of God is here with us. He knows this stuff is not going to happen overnight. He knows we have to think about everything we hear every Sunday, all these messages and the other messages you hear. But friends, never think it's just that easy walk of believism. Well, if I just believe, God's going to do it all. That's part of it. What's the rest of it? What did he say here? He wants me to give, and then I will receive overflowing. And if you hear anybody saying anything else, they're not preaching Scripture. You say, whoa, Tony, that's kind of a tough statement. It's the truth. It's the truth. Jesus said this himself, you give and it'll be given unto you. You don't just stand there and say, I'm believing. Pour it on me, Lord. And God is saying, pour it on who? The real you or the image? Quit faking it. Let's get with it. Humble yourself before me and I'll lift you up. I'll give you honor. I'll show you great and mighty things you do not know. And so, listen, it's only by God's compassion that we have mercy, that we have grace, that we're even here. We're saved by God's compassion and we're sustained by God's compassion. And I want you to hear this. And this came with the truck incident and then the water incident. And I have to tell you, before the guys came out and I knew I could get it fixed, and I was really, you can imagine, wouldn't you have been distressed? You know, your truck on Sunday and the water on Tuesday. And it was like, and the first thing I asked was, what did I do? What did I do? That's where we go. And I have that tendency. And I've shared that with you before. I tend to think I did something. God is chastising me. Well, He didn't show me anything. Then what did I not do? I'm worried about that too. Do you ever worry about that? Did I not? What did I not do? This is why I disobeyed and not do it. And I couldn't find that. And then here's where it came. First of all, He put in my heart, the enemy's trying to discourage you, Tony. But I'm using what He does for you to bring a message from the heart. And this is what I want you to tell my people. That when you're down and out, and when you're tired, and just worn out, and feeling overwhelmed like you are right now, that's when I surround you with my presence. That's when I take over your life. And that's when you find my strength in your weakness. And it all began to come out. And they said, just like I told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you because you find my strength when you're weak. And Tony boy, it's when you're here and you are being attacked and one thing's happening, another thing's happening, that and you're weary, and it's when you're being real and you're saying to me, I'm tired of this, I'm worn out, I'm frustrated. The whole thing in this country, and then all this combined, it's like, Lord, it just doesn't take too much of anything anymore to just get on my nerves, for me to just to feel just really upset. And then He begins to speak, you know, I'm the God who takes care of tired and worn out, overwhelmed people, and it's now that I'll surround you with my compassion. It's now that you experience my love. And it's now that you will see how I lift my people up when they're humbled before me, and I'll bring grace upon grace, and I'll fill your basket to overflowing. And then here came the boys and fixed the problem. And God sent His people in time of need. Listen, you just think about this, see? And you cry out to Him. And all the facade and all the stuff becomes nothing. And you're just saying, what gives? What is the lesson? What is the message? God's saying, it's this. I'm making you real. And I'm letting you see that I'm a real Almighty God. Isn't that powerful? You're experiencing me in might. And so I'll close with this. God is the powerful God. He's the Almighty God. And God can do powerful things and will. I just read this passage in Corinthians. You can read it. I didn't write it down, but it's over 2 Corinthians. And it said, God can give you more blessings than you need so that you can give to others. And isn't that great? God will do that. He can give me more blessings than I need. Yeah, and expects me to do it to help other people, to use it for His honor and glory. So here, I want to leave you with this. Our Almighty God, in Ephesians 3:20-23, write this down. It says, now all glory to God, listen to this, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Let that soak in. Did you just hear that? You might have walked in here a little down, discouraged. You're hearing all this stuff, how our government is and this and that, everything around us. Friends, listen to me. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. And it says, glory to God and glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. So these points I'll leave you with. God will make everything work out for your good. That's found in Romans, that God causes everything to work to the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. God promises that He will meet all your needs. And He will do it in abundance. God promises that if you give, He will give. He'll send people to give. Pressed down, running over. You can't even hold it all. And that overflow is meant to go to other people. He's given you more blessings than you need so you can help others. God will provide, listen to this, God will provide even when you can't see a way. Sunday morning, I didn't see a way. Tuesday, I didn't see a way. There have been so many things in all of our lives, right? We just don't see a way. How am I going to get out of this? The first thing most of us think about is what? Besides the problem, how are we going to pay for this, right? Don't we? I mean, oh, Lord, how are we going to pay for this? What's it going to? And then God says, trust me. Keep giving. Keep giving. In my own life, it's like, Tony, when someone has a need and what and way God uses me to meet a lot of needs is listen to their problems and see if you can help them work through it. And what does God do? He comes back and pours it in overflowing. That's what He's doing for all you and with your gifts and abilities and whatever you do. He'll provide when we just can't see a way. He'll protect us from things we don't even know we need protecting from. He does it all the time. God protects us from things we didn't even know we need protecting from. He's delivered you from so many things out here. You don't know. You have no idea how many times out here on this highway that enemy was coming straight for you and God diverted him. And it said, not today. It could have. As a matter of fact, just found out this morning. There was a wreck. If I'd have gone down 10, there was a wreck right down there, and it took the whole top off of a pickup, smashed in the side. And it's like, that's right. That's right. What was God preventing you from? What did God see that you didn't know? And friends, that's why we don't want to fight with Him when things happen. I know. Yes, He knows when we're worn out, disgusted, worried, frustrated. Admit it to Him. That's the real us. You know, don't present some persona. He knows our hearts. But trust Him. Trust Him. He'll protect us from things we don't even know about. We don't even know we need protection from. And listen to this. When you don't see a way, God is the God that can make something out of nothing. Look around you. His Spirit moved over this thing. And it was void, without form. And He made something out of nothing. God divided the firmaments. Day after day, He did this miraculous work. And the last of that was you and me. But God will make something out of nothing, and He's able and will do whatever needs to be done, whatever He wills to be done. The Almighty God, He is Almighty, He's all-powerful, and never, ever, ever let the circumstances around you dictate to your faith. God owns you. He owns this earth. He owns everything in it. God owns the heavens. He owns the oceans. He owns the land. And yes, whether they believe it or not, He owns government. And He'll let you mess around long enough till you put the noose around your own neck and hang yourself. And so you trust in the Lord, who's a giving God, a compassionate God, an almighty God, a God who, when you give, gives in return, and He'll fill your life to overflowing with abundance, with His presence, with His Spirit, with His love, with His courage and boldness and grace and forgiveness and mercy, all because you gave yourself to Him. That's the Lord's concluding note to that. Thank you, God, for your grace, mercy, giving, power, Thank you, God, that we can never outgive you. And I know there's baskets here that need filling. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Well, I'm asking you, Father, to fill them to overflowing. And open our hearts to give to you so that that can be done. And thank you, God, for opening your heart and giving out of yourself, your Son Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, for our salvation, to rise again the third day. And thank you, Jesus, for right now you're seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you're interceding for us, and you're saying these words, not guilty, forgiven, cleansed by my blood. Father, they're mine. They're mine. All blessings, all goodness, Lord, all protection, all provision, all power and might to you, all honor and glory to you, and we trust in our almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here.